When life gets harder, you get smarter. You don't mission, you level up like a boss. Connect Vox Fibre to your home, starting from 554 Rand per month. Level up your experience with Airtime's Wi-Fi boosters, Vobi voice app calling, offers 365 and over 160 other products to enhance your lifestyle. Live smart. Level up with Vox. Visit vox.co.za to view our range. T's and C's apply.
So, Rechot, what are you drinking there exactly?
So, I don't know if you've seen this type of stuff, Duncan. This new range of, well, canned beers that's coming out. Now you'll see all of these various branded canned beers. But yeah, this is from Drifter and Origin, coffee-infused cream ale.
And how is it?
It's delicious. Look what it looks like. It's not a dark beer at all.
Yeah, it's a golden color. I would have expected it to be like a stouty color.
Yeah, and I mean, it's amazing the coffee. I mean, it's Origin coffee, right? So they've got pretty good coffee. I don't know. Is there Origin up in Joburg?
I don't know. I'm not a coffee drinker, so I'm not sure. I'll definitely try a coffee-flavored beer. That does sound amazing.
It's very smooth, very creamy. If you know Kilkenny-style beer, that cream Irish ale.
I love Kilkenny.
Mm. Yeah, now imagine that, not as rich, because Kilkenny can get quite rich.
Yeah.
With a nice little coffee undertone. It's
beautiful.
It's really delicious. Beautiful. So there you can check there, golden-infused with Origin coffee. So these guys basically go around, it's a mobile canning company, the Tiny Keg Canning Company, and they go around to various breweries and just buy kegs of beer or brew a bottle for them and ship it around the country. It's definitely the way to transport beer, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm in a whiskey mode this weekend, so I'm having myself some Jameson's and soda. Very smooth and pleasant.
easy drinking.
All the purists will be shocked at the amount of water I've got in here, but... it's Irish, so I don't mind doing it. If it's Scotch, and of course my surname is McLeod, so I do prefer the Scotch, then just a splash of water to bring out the aroma and the taste.
The tannins, isn't it? It's not that that's wrong. Mm-hmm. The peat in the whiskey. The
peat, exactly, yeah. And my favorites are the ones from Ile. Are you a bit of a whiskey connoisseur?
Oh, love it. Yeah, but it's a bit of an expensive hobby. I mean, not that
very expensive.
I mean, at 30 rand a beer these days, it's also an expensive hobby.
What is your favorite whiskey?
Lagavulin is up there. There's another one I keep forgetting, the Ardberg.
Ardberg's lovely.
I love the peaty whiskeys.
Me too. Everything from Ile is fantastic, especially my favorite is Carl Ile. I don't know if you've had Carl Ile.
Yeah, I noticed Carl Ile. I don't know why I noticed Carl Ile, but yes, beautiful. Mm. That's one of the first really peaty whiskeys I had.
Yeah.
Between that and Lagavulin, it's certainly up there. There's another one from, go on.
I was just going to say the trick with pronouncing Scottish whiskey names is to drink lots of it, and only then can you actually begin to pronounce them. Like Boona Harbin.
Yeah, I was just going to say, exactly. We just said it at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Carl Ile is fantastic. It's not readily, you can get it fairly readily, but it's not as generally available as some of the others. Lefroig is also lovely. Also very pretty.
Mm. I mean, we're looking at what, 600-700 rand a bottle for a decent.
Yeah.
Entry-level decent whiskey these days. I mean, you do savor it, which is nice. But I have phases, right? So once a year, I have a whiskey craving, and then I'll, you know, look at all my favorites, get some, and enjoy them.
Yeah.
But yeah.
For sure. Anyway, we could waffle on about whiskey all day, but we should probably do the show, right?
What show? I thought we were doing a beer show. Aren't we just? Isn't this a new phase on the internet? We just talk crap while we're drinking beer.
No, that's tech on the screen that you can see. Although we should do a Beer Central podcast at some point. It'd be fun.
Too many ideas, Duncan.
Just tasting beer on a late on a Saturday afternoon or something.
Sounds I've been trying to revive my podcast for so long. Mm. The people are there to talk about it, but. Yeah, you know how long it takes to just put these things out in between everything else.
Indeed, it takes a lot of time. But you know so much about beer, you should do one for sure.
It's on the cards. I mean, I had one, we did one, but it needs to be a video thing. So it's kind of in the plans at my old local hangout. So keep an eye out for that. I'll invite you over. You should actually come and have a few beers there.
Yeah, please do. I'll definitely pop in. I've been threatening to do it for a while now.
We'll be there after the show, so there's your invite right now.
All right, good stuff. But not have too much whiskey then. let's get this show on the road. Let's get it kicked off. I'm allegedly Duncan MacLeod.
And I'm allegedly Rechard van den Berg.
And this is Talk Central, episode 263 for the week starting 16 June 2019. Yep, that's Youth Day.
Wow. Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central. Join our YouTube stream live on Sundays from 1 p.m. And please hit that subscribe button.
Yes, please do hit that subscribe button. On Talk Central this week, it's the attack of the abbreviations as DTPS and DOC become DCDT, or is that DOA?
Geez, so many abbreviations. Also on the show this week, Huawei's foldable phone is delayed, and it's not Trump's fault. Wow. And Showmax to offer live streamed sport.
Plus, Asus's amazing new ZenBook Pro Duo laptop.
That's a fantastic machine. It's Sunday afternoon. We're live streaming on YouTube, and it's time to talk everything tech.
Oh, welcome to it. How's it, Richard?
How's it, Duncan?
Very good, thanks. Before we get into our regular features and, of course, our quiz, which I have not forgotten about this week, I haven't looked at our WhatsApp phone for a while, and we have a few WhatsApp messages come in. We've been so focused on YouTube and the YouTube live comments that this phone has been gathering dust. So
you're like that boyfriend that doesn't message on the next day, Duncan.
Terrible. Will you forgive me, Rahat?
I'm not the one you have to ask for forgiveness.
That needs another sip of whiskey before I continue. Anyway, we've got a message here from John. I think he's in Uganda. He sent it to us on the 28th of May. So thank you, John. He says, thanks, Tech Central, for your podcast series. I listen to your recordings through the week. They are so relevant and on point all the time, and the human nature you bring to it as you discuss off-tech issues like Duncan's Mauritius experience. Please keep it up. I think I started listening in from last year and always looking forward to the next episode. My name is John Segwanye, Kampala, Uganda, a telecoms engineer working with C Squared, a wholesale open access infrastructure provider in Uganda, Ghana, and Liberia. So, wow. John, great to have you as a listener. Thank you for the message. And then we've got another message here from James. And James asks, hi, guys. Password managers, what is good and what is bad? Your thoughts, what's free and what's not? Now, I haven't done a huge amount of research on this subject, but I know that both Rechot and I use password managers. And quite frankly, if in this day and age with cyber attacks and information breaches and all that sort of thing, if you're not using a password manager and using strong, unique passwords and different passwords on every single website that you sign into, you are asking for trouble. I can talk about the one I use. It's they've recently put their prices up, which makes it a little harder to recommend than it was previously. But I still keep subscribing to it, and that's a service called Dashlane, Dashlane. Very good software. It integrates with your phone, with Windows, with your Mac. I think there might even be a Linux version of it, and it does autofill of passwords on websites that you visit. It's the paid version. There's a free tier as well, which you can use on one device. So you can use it as just to store your passwords. But if you want the autofill features, if you want the syncing between devices and the app on your Android or iPhone, then it's a paid for subscription. But it's very good software, and I'm a big fan of it. So that's Dashlane. And Rechard, you use LastPass or OnePass?
Yeah, I've been using LastPass for ages, and it's the free version, obviously, which okay. is more than sufficient. There's obviously, I don't know what we would get extra for the paid for version, but it works sufficient. It's very sufficient for what it can do. And yeah, everything you said. I mean, you should be reading. You should be using passwords that's long hashes you can't remember.
Yeah, exactly. You shouldn't actually know any of your own passwords.
And make sure your LastPass password or your password manager password is also very secure.
Yeah.
Because once that's compromised, obviously you have a problem. So I've got a method of actually, I've got a very difficult and complicated LastPass password that I save in one or two places that I can access either offline or online. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting ways you can hide passwords in plain view too, if you want to be that obscure. So, and if you have web servers, there's a lot of cool ways, cool little tricks you can do by just pasting doc files on there with random README files or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can do it.
Yeah.
Mine is a lot more simple. So yeah, that's, but you have to have one of those, and it makes your life a lot easier because there's so many services you use these days, and we really shouldn't be using these, Facebook login, Gmail logins, or now the Apple logins.
Absolutely.
Although Apple's has got a pretty good proposition with theirs, you know, being all unique email address and stuff, but it's still, you're getting into territory you'd rather not, because then you're losing control of your access to that app or that service.
Yeah. So it was LastPass, you said, or OnePass, I've forgotten.
LastPass, no, LastPass.
LastPass. And they all have free tiers. They just, you know, the paid for tiers just give you more stuff like syncing, and some of them offer auto login onto websites. But you can't go wrong with either of those options.
Yeah, mine's also web mobile app. So on my phone it works. Yeah, actually, I must look into what I get extra, because I don't have any limitations that I can see. You know, I've got the Chrome plugin that fills in everything for me.
Okay, so it auto logs in. That's nice.
It does auto log in. Yeah, yeah. Well, not auto. No, I actually have to select, but I still prefer that, because you know, I still prefer to know where I'm going. You know, I don't want to not know whenever I'm logging into a secure site. I want to know where the barrier is. If I do.
Okay. Okay. So, but yeah. Also, make sure your password manager also supports two-factor authentication. Ooh, so create a strong password. For your main password and your password manager, because that's the only password you're going to have to remember. But then also enable two-factor authentication just in case, because if someone gets in there, then you've got a problem. I'm actually so comfortable with Dashlane that I store my bank cards and everything in there. My ID, my passports, everything is inside Dashlane.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. I mean, I actually don't have all my stuff digitally saved like that, but all important documents is another thing. I mean, that stuff needs to be saved in a secure place. You know, you don't actually realize all those PDFs, financial data and all that stuff. It's usually pretty accessible if it's on your computer somewhere.
Yeah.
That should also be protected.
For sure. Right. Should we do our quiz, Rechard?
Let's do it. First question. Which figure said this week that his life was effectively at stake as he prepared to fight an extradition battle?
And which online retailer said this week that it will open bricks and mortar stores in Gauteng after a similar move in Cape Town?
Third question. In an interview with Tech Central this week, Vast Networks talked about its Wi-Fi offload pilot with mobile operator Vodacom. Who are the shareholders in Vast?
And the fourth and final question, because there is no fifth question this week. IBM this week said it had partnered with which South African university to bring quantum computing to Africa? And that's our quiz. We'll get to the answers to that, as always, at the end of the show. And we are, once again, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, streaming live on YouTube. We do this at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoons, usually. Please join us there. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube. You'll get alerted to whenever we go live on air. If you see a bell button, hit that too for extra surety. We're mixing things up. We're playing around with Wirecast, as I mentioned last week. And if you're watching the YouTube version of this, you'll see we've got a beautiful background going this week with the Tech Central logo, and we're going to be shaking things up a little bit more during the course of this podcast.
So where are you, Duncan? Are you above me? Should I be looking up at you? Is
that, yes, I'm up here. I'll look down there somewhere. Where are these?
we need those VR goggles. I need to be... look, I wouldn't want to be looking up at you like that, so let's just do it side by side when that happens. All right.
Yeah, it's all kind of weird. We're going out on top of each other like this, as it were, and but we're actually looking at each other directly in Wirecast.
That's all a weird, twisted digital world that we're living in.
It's very complicated, this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Especially for someone like
wires and lights everywhere. It's not a fun thing to do, kids. You don't want to get into this.
Yeah. It's taken a lot to get here, but and we've still got a long way to go. But we're having some fun. Now I've got to remember when we're in Wirecast that when we talk about stories, I need to hit some buttons. So I'm going to hit that button and I'm going to hit that button, and there'll be a new image on the screen. Wow, this is so exciting. So the first story we're going to talk about today, and that image you can see on the screen, is of Communications Minister Stellenda Benny-Abrams, who's just been reappointed as minister by the President Cyril Ramaphosa. And Ramaphosa putting out a statement late on Friday evening saying that the Departments of Telecommunications and Postal Services, or DTPS, and the Department of Communications, DOC, which were split by Jacob Zuma after the 2014 election. He announced last year that they would be re-merged. I think everyone just assumed it would be called the Department of Communications again, as it was before. But no, it's now going to be called, and let me just bring up my show notes before I butcher this, it's going to be called DCDT, or the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies. Doesn't exactly roll off the tongue, DCDT. But Maybe it's a good name. It kind of expands the remit of these departments and drops the postal services, which is really old school, right?
Yeah. Do people still use the post? I don't, can't remember the last time I received it. Yeah, I agree with you.
But as I joked in the beginning, perhaps it should be called DOA, not for necessarily for dead on arrival, but Department of Action, because that's needs, action is what needs to happen now. There is so much sitting in this minister's inbox, including sorting out the allocation of high-demand radio frequency spectrum, that this has to happen very urgently now. She really does have her plate full. So let's hope it is the DOA, Department of Action, rather than dead on arrival. But an interesting name, I thought. Department of Communications and Digital Technologies. It's actually quite nice, I think. The abbreviation doesn't work so much.
They don't use that digital technologies little extra part there to overextend their reach. That's probably the only... We know that naming people with the names tend to take on different forms if they misaligned.
Yeah, maybe they should have just called it the Department of Technology Policy or something like that.
Look, it doesn't really matter, right? Like you said, it needs to just have action in its deeds. I mean, we are so far overdue. We are so far behind in all these things we need to do. And this is not just limited to this department.
Yes.
Yeah, it's getting a little scary halfway through 2019, and we're still facing with a lot of the same issues we did 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah,
in various guises, it might, you know, albeit. But
yeah,
it feels like technology hasn't really. We haven't, you know, apart from our amazing fiber installations that we've been receiving, and you know, some good expensive technology. What's been exciting and new and really something that shifted, you know, South Africa's tech position.
Yeah, indeed. There's been no new radio frequency spectrum allocated in this country for about 14 years now. The government has actually, or ICASA, has never allocated spectrum for 4G. The networks have rolled out 4G by refarming 2G and 3G spectrum. And they're running out of capacity, especially in the cities, and they don't have access to the digital dividend bands of 800 and 700 megahertz, which is what they need to provide nationwide 4G coverage, including in the most outlying of rural areas. We're shooting ourselves in the foot by not getting on with this project.
14 years is an insane. I mean, technology has fundamentally changed. You know, in its kind of the way that consumers use it, which is ultimately where the money is, right?
And if you think the rest of the world allocated 4G spectrum in around 2010, 2011, we're now in 2019. Most of the rest of the world, certainly the developed world, completed the digital migration project a good 10 years ago. And we're still sitting with analog broadcasters, and they're sitting on the digital dividend spectrum that these operators need to provide universal 4G and later 5G services.
No, it's absolutely ridiculous. I don't know. And where do we light the fire under the right bottoms to get things done? I mean, voting... does it really help? I don't know.
Well, at least there's some stability in that department now. I mean, under Zuma, the minister was changed every year, if not more frequently. I've actually lost count of all the names of the ministers that went through that portfolio. So Stella Ndebeni Abrams, she has a lot to prove. She's very young, but she is very energetic. And
look, young is what we need too. We need younger people in government. I think that's probably part of the problem. You know, fresh ideas and fresh thinking, not thinking that is, I don't know, a little bit more restricted in that openness, you know, that we need.
Yeah. But she has done some silly things since she was appointed as minister, including trying to interfere with an SABC news crew to tell them that they may not broadcast protests at an ANC rally or an ANC event. I think there are some question marks about, you know, just how politically savvy she is. But she's been reappointed, so at least there is stability. I suppose we can at least be thankful for that. There isn't yet another new minister who's going to review everything again, and nothing happens for a year, and then another minister gets appointed, which was the problem we had under Zuma. So let's hope things are moving along. Let's talk about gadgets for a bit, Rehat. And Huawei's announced that their new Mate 10, or Mate X, I think it's the Mate X, Apple calls it the 10, their foldable phone is going to be delayed, which is a little bit surprising to me. Samsung, of course, announced they were going to delay the Galaxy Fold, which wasn't surprising at all after they sent it out to reviewers and it started breaking after those reviewers peeled off the surface film on the thing, which apparently was part of the device and wasn't meant to be peeled off. Although, you know, whenever you get a new phone, Rachel, the first thing you do is peel off that film that's on top of it.
No. Who does that? Oh, you mean the film that just the marketing film that just protects the entire device, not the screen protector.
No, not the screen protector. You usually have to install that yourself. I suppose there's a few people who buy sofas and leave the plastic on them, but I think most of us remove the plastic from goods once we bought them. But apparently it was meant to be kept on there. Now, when they eventually do bring it to market, there'll be a warning on the front of the box or the front of the phone saying, do not pull off this film. That's if the Galaxy Fold ever actually comes to market. Now, the Mate X looked like an altogether different proposition, actually a better-looking phone, better design, better folding mechanism, I thought. But Huawei announcing on CNBC, I think it was on Thursday or Friday this week, saying that they're going to delay it. And I think they said it was until September at the earliest, saying that in light of the decision by Samsung to delay theirs, they're going to also delay the Mate X for further testing. One wonders if they encountered some issues with it. But an executive from Huawei said, we don't want to destroy our reputation by releasing something that isn't quite ready. So perhaps both Huawei and Samsung were getting a bit ahead of themselves in rushing something to market that perhaps wasn't technically quite ready for market.
Yeah, we can almost imagine what happens in these corporate boardrooms, right? Oh, we hear this company X is going to launch it. Hurry up, guys. We need to give them some more money and just get the product out there. What about that bug? No, we don't care about the bug. Just put it out there.
Yes.
But I think part of the problem also, or part of the reason is potentially the whole Google thing. Simply, because if they are going to change software and their software isn't ready for the switch on the dual screen devices, they wouldn't want to be sitting with a bunch of devices out there that can't flip to the new operating system.
Yes.
Potentially.
Yes.
Or come out with a new operating system if we're looking at the September timeframe, right?
So I was wondering if someone was going to notice this. Glenn in the YouTube comments says, love the background, Duncan. Next week, Leisure Suit Larry.
Oh, yeah.
In case anyone hadn't noticed, behind me I have the Space Quest logo, which is one of the greatest point-and-click adventure games of the 1980s. Did you ever play Space Quest, Rohit?
I did. In limited, I mean, my PC was not always working. I had to fiddle with that thing so much to get it to work. So in between all of that, I ended up playing a lot of Doom and Duke Nukem. But Space Quest, I was more of a Monkey Island fan.
Oh, were you? Okay. Monkey Island was so difficult.
It was the only pirate game I could get hold of.
Oh, it was a pirate.
No, I'm just joking. I mean, isn't that how we all got our games back in the day? Copied those discs, 17 total or something.
You couldn't even find them in retail stores in South Africa.
I never saw retail games up until the mid-90s, I think it was. Unless you got those cartridge games.
But I loved the Space Quest series. Space Quest 2 was my favorite.
It is a nice desktop, but on my side, the real world, Duncan.
Real world. This is a green screen behind me, in case you're watching this for the first time. I'm going to put something up new every week. It's kind of weird looking behind me and seeing green and then looking in front of me and seeing an image behind me. I'm still trying to get used to that, but it's good fun. What else do we need to talk about this week, Rechard? There is the Asus. Let me find the picture for that in Wirecast before we get to it. And hit that button and it'll come on screen. There we go. Now look at that thing. Isn't that absolutely gorgeous?
I'm going to get two of those, I think, Duncan.
Starting at about 40K, I think, for the base model. For those listening to the audio version of this podcast, this is the Asus, what's it called? The Asus ZenBook Pro Duo. It's got two 4K screens. Now, it's a 15-inch 4K screen where you'd normally expect the monitor to be. And then where you normally expect the keyboard to be is another 4K screen. I think it's 13 inches diagonally.
14 inches, I think.
Is it 14 diagonally? Yeah. It looks quite a lot smaller, but they, of course, measure screens from top left to bottom right or bottom left to top right. So in effect, it is smaller, but...
it's also super wide. It's
super
not like
wide,
a,
very wide.
Yeah, it's like so, a weird so that's, ratio.
It's also 4K, and it's... both screens are OLED. Then the keyboard is in front of that screen. And then there's another panel, touch panel, which you can also put just about anything on, like a calculator, as you can see on the screen here in YouTube. I'm not sure, Rechad, anything that we now have looked at this machine, we were both at the launch on Friday evening. The only thing that I thought about this machine is, you know, it's a bit weird having the keyboard right up against the front edge of the device. How comfortable is that going to be for using on a day-to-day basis and typing regularly, especially if you've got it on your lap?
Look, yeah, that is certainly the one thing to keep an eye on. I used a notebook where I think one of the Asus Republic of Gamers notebook, I'm sure it's one of the other models, that had a similar setup where it does, in fact, it's for the cooling. It's got on the top part where you see the screen, it's just metal for more efficient cooling of the graphics card.
Yeah.
And using that, it is certainly a different thing to get used to than, you know, having a palm rests on a notebook. But keep in mind, this is not the type of computer you're going to put on your lap and use. You'll always have a desk. What I would like to see with this is maybe a palm rest. Yes, it's going to be an attachment. But, I mean, if it's going to be sitting on a desk often, it would be great to have that as somebody that's used something similar. But to be honest with you, the way it slants too. So if you're open, if you look in the back graph on a different one, you can see when you open the screen pops up the back side of the notebook a bit. So it is angled.
Yes.
When you put your palms down, your palm is kind of resting on the tabletop with your, it's not uncomfortable. You have to make little sacrifices, I guess. But I have to use it for a long period of time to really say if it's good or bad. Yeah. But that screen is super nice though. I mean, I like to think of it as they looked at what Apple did with their touch bar. And when that thing is ridiculous. Yeah. Let's see what we can do.
Really do.
And make this thing really pop, yeah. And then
really,
that's
Tim, we can do much better than this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's essentially a second screen, a second desktop, so you can do anything with it. Which
yes,
I
you
like.
Can.
Really
you like. Can. You can, in fact, just extend the screen down, it just becomes a bigger screen. At the demo, they had a piano on there, so you literally can play a piano on it and see the results on the top screen. But you can really do anything. You can. It comes. I don't know if it comes with or it's an optional accessory, but you can get a pen for it as well, a digital pen.
Yeah.
So you can draw in that space, which would be great for using something like Illustrator. Mm-hmm. But I think let your imagination run wild in terms of what you can do with that space. You can put multiple apps there. You can split them in either two or three screens at the bottom.
You can see there's a piano on the keyboard.
Yeah. That's cool. But it's so exciting to see so much innovation happening in the PC market again. You know how boring it had been for so long. It was just, you know, getting thinner and smaller and, you know, lighter. But there's some real innovation coming back now.
That was the worst thing about notebooks for the last few years. I think the problem was largely the gaming sector couldn't keep up. We didn't have the technology for the graphics cards to produce provide that need to produce a better notebook, to be able to push the boundaries with what you do with it and why you would buy something so expensive. Mm. Now that graphics cards are pretty much caught up, yes, your RTX 2060 in this machine isn't going to be exactly the same as the RTX in your desktop. I mean, there's going to be some performance sacrifices. But again, you know, the guys using this, most likely they're going to be gamers potentially, but you're not going to get gamers exclusively buying this machine just for gaming. I mean, that's kind of a rarity. You kind of have high-end geeks who want this machine for numerous other things.
Yeah,
I'm very excited about where we're going. And this is also a move closer to a full, I mean, we've seen the full touchscreen computers, which I don't like. I mean,
I don't want feedback.
Mm. And this is a good balance. Battery life is obviously a consideration, so how will this affect that? But you can toggle it on and off. It just doesn't look as nice when it's switched off. It's the weird glossy black. So,
And as we discussed at the launch, it's great for streamers too. And I suppose game streamers, guys streaming to Twitch and that sort of thing, they can play the game and in front of them they can see the chat that's going on in live in Twitch or on YouTube or whatever it is. And so from a streaming perspective, very nice indeed.
Also, like from a music production perspective, they'd mentioned DJs. I think one of the video clips they showed was a DJ who had additional controls on there. Mm-hmm. Now, somebody who enjoys just doing it for fun, and I've got a beautiful app that allows me to do that. This screen will actually add so much function to that, and because it's touch screen, you can now, play with the sliders, which is it's a nice touch.
Yes.
Whether it's really production wise justifiable just yet, I don't know. Yeah. But again, with any technology, second generation of this is going to be a lot cheaper. Mm. If it's a very popular feature, you know,
it'll come to other makers,
It'll come to other devices and other models for them too.
Rechad, I think you're going to have to get one on review.
Oh, no, it's already in the plan. Don't worry, it's coming.
Oh, good. Yeah. Let me know when you get it in. And
What's this? No, I'm just joking. I don't have it. But yeah,
it's
no,
launching in 2 months' time, I believe. So if you do want one, you're going to have to wait 60 days.
Well, yeah. Well, look, we'll play with the ones that's in the country already. How's that? We'll make a sacrifice with those demo models. Right. But yeah, let's have a meetup, and then we'll check out all the streaming features and see how well it works.
Yeah, indeed. Maybe we should even do a podcast on it. It is really a sexy piece of kit. Yeah. So Showmax, they seem to be getting some better content on there. I've been watching more of their stuff lately. Now they've launched live sports. It was available on trial. In fact, I've been on the trial for a couple of weeks. I noticed they had, I must say I didn't watch any of it because I'm not a cricket fan, and it seemed to be just the Cricket World Cup. But they've brought it to all users as of Friday. Same price, $99 a month. You get the Cricket World Cup and some other sports, which I've forgotten. I think they're planning to bring some European soccer. What I know about sport is really dangerous. It is some European soccer. I don't think it's the massive British League games, but it's some European games. La Liga, is that what it's called? I could be wrong.
I don't think it has a massive following in South Africa. I think the UEFA, the European Champions League, is probably the bigger one, but they won't have the licensing for that. I mean,
no. Well, Supersport has that, but they're obviously leveraging on the Supersport licences.
And also, this is just a venture into that idea. They're going to have to do something like this, converting their subscribers, or they're going to lose them.
I think they're preempting Amazon and Netflix to some extent. And of course, they can leverage Supersport. Supersport is a very powerful brand with an amazing amount of content. And they're the sister company. And no doubt, Supersport has acquired rights for broadcasting various sports. And those rights include streaming, I would imagine, because they do DStv Now. I'd imagine handing it over to the sister company Showmax is not a big deal. So they're putting Cricket World Cup stuff on there. It's limited. I don't think you're going to see the Super Rugby games or the Curry Cup on Showmax.
Maybe the regional games. Perhaps those regional rugby games could be, but I don't think the big national games will ever happen.
No. MultiChoice makes too much money out of Supersport 1, so I can't see them ever. And Supersport 2 and 3, for that matter. I can't ever see them putting, Springboks versus Australia on Showmax.
What they could do is delayed games. So now you're talking about a 30-40 hour delay, which it's not appealing to me. I'd still much rather go to the pub and watch it live.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's me where too.
The atmosphere comes from. But maybe watching the highlights. I know there's some people that watch the game after the fact. There are people that enjoy doing that. So again, if they are going to venture into the streaming market, which they have to, they will be using the Showmax platform to do so, without a doubt.
Yeah.
So I think they're testing the waters. It's going to be popular, of course.
Yes.
There's still a lot of big cricket fans out there. So for those guys, it's a reasonable thing to upgrade to.
Cricket's big. Cricket's huge. So to add it to there is quite something. And I think they had to put some major sport on there. I couldn't exactly have the Yuxke Championships.
I'd watch that. Man, that's riveting stuff, Duncan.
Well, the National Lawn Bowls Championship.
That was one of the things I did miss about all those weird random ESPN channels when I was still a DStv subscriber many, 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 many years ago. There's some really fantastic... I mean, but now we're venturing into the area of couch surfing and nothing better to do with your time.
That's a waste of your life, couch surfing. I've stopped doing it.
Exactly. But if you were so inclined, watching some of those ARP sports is pretty fun. I mean, there's a lot of interesting things out there. So having that on a platform like this that you can catch up on, because that you wouldn't want to watch live necessarily, but if you watch that YXK top 10 finals worldwide, it's a different story with some good soundtrack. I mean, you've got some good content going.
Some of those smaller sports are actually really cool. I mean, I watch a bit of rugby. It's probably the only major sport I watch. But, if there's darts on TV or snooker, I love to watch that because those guys are so pro.
Exactly. Yeah. That's kind of the ARP sports. It's again, something nice to put on the background too.
Table tennis as well. It's also incredible to watch. It's usually Chinese people that do so well at table tennis. But just to see the speed of them as they move around that table, it's mind-blowing.
Isn't that one of the fastest sports in the world, apparently?
Is it?
I think badminton's another one that's one of the fastest.
Yeah, you have to have lightning reflexes to play at that level. Incredible stuff. But well done to Showmax, and I think preempting Amazon and Netflix, which no doubt at some point in the future will be bringing live sports as well. No word yet that they're competing for any of the South African sports rights. Probably more interested in big global sports like soccer for now. But it'll come.
You see, this is probably the strategy for a lot of these guys. I mean, you kind of know where sport is at the moment. It's in a very tricky spot with super sport. In a few years, it's not going to be like this. We know that. Something's going to happen. Something's going to have to change. So what is your secondary plan of attack? You kind of just go after the market, secure the audiences, get some good content on there. And then when you flip that switch, you know, you've got a good base and you can just attract the competition's customers.
Yeah. Great. Richard, I think that takes care of our news this week. Shall we move on to our regular features? What have you got this week? Let me throw up the image on the screen. There we go. Tell us about it.
Oh, the pick of the week. Yeah, sorry, I'm just there is a bit of delay. I didn't see that on the screen. So I don't know. I'm a very a big fan of Dropbox. I've been using it for a lot of years. I've got all my important files saved on there. I mean, and I love a lot of the features. You know, the multiple revision backup. It's a great. I also use Google Drive and all those things, but Dropbox is my primary backup source for my work files. Mm-hmm. And they've just recently launched. It's still under kind of preview. Borderline beta testing, but they've got a new user interface that they've just launched for their app, which is it's essentially a new kind of just a app look and feel.
Yeah.
It gives you a lot more control over kind of what you see and how you control your Dropbox files, you know, who you share it with. It's a lot easier to see who's got permissions, what's recently changed on your Dropbox, what's recently changed in your folders, and kind of just gives you a better overview of your digital files, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's a nice little addition. I've only been playing with it for about a day now. But I never really use a Dropbox app apart from just automatically syncing the data that it needs to sync. But with this, I find myself kind of just monitoring certain things a little bit more. I've been checking it out over the last day, just kind of seeing what the activity was, and also just been reviewing some of the shares because I've got shares going back 10 years. So I've been removing some of those old shares. And also it gives me a chance to delete some old outdated files too. So it's well worth checking out if you're a Dropbox user.
I must say it was well overdue for a redesign. It was looking a bit tired.
Yeah, look, I mean, you don't really use the web interface is not bad, but again, it's so well integrated into Windows. I mean, there isn't really a need for a interface as such, but this was desperately needed. You know, I've got probably 1.2 terabytes of data on there, and there's stuff going back that I can't even remember. So now, again, I've got a nice way to kind of sort out a few things. And then just clean it up a bit. And then also just maintain going forward because I've been starting to share a lot more work-related folders. And you forget those things. And, you know, a few months or years down the line, you have all these active shares open.
Yes.
Files, and you just get rid of them. Digital waste.
Yeah, for sure. My pick this week is a new TV series, which I am thoroughly enjoying. I know you haven't had a chance to see it yet, Richard. It's being broadcast on Mnet, but I've been watching it on streaming on DSTV Now. And it's about the Chernobyl nuclear accident that happened back in 1986. It's an HBO miniseries. It's just called Chernobyl, and it is so well done, so well acted. And what's nice about it is there's nothing sensational about the way they've done it. It's just factual, and they take you through exactly what happened. And I don't think it needed to be anything more than just a factual, straight down the line account of that disaster, because it was so dramatic and such a disaster that I think you'd actually do it an injustice if you were to try and add your creative flair to it, if I can use that phrase, or to embellish it. That's the word I'm looking for. Superbly acted. My only perhaps slight critique of it is that it's got some weird accents in it. It's mostly British actors, but there was one or two American actors, and it all seemed a bit out of place. All speaking English, of course, but it feels like it would have been better even if they were speaking Russian with subtitles, which probably would have put a lot of people off, which is probably why they didn't do it.
Yeah.
Or at least speaking in English with a Russian accent. But that's a minor quibble. Fantastic television, one of the best series I've seen in a very long time. So if you haven't seen it yet, I think it's disappearing off DSTV Now any day now, or at least the first episode is. There's four episodes that have been broadcast so far. Every one of them absolutely brilliant. And
only on DSTV. Oh, what did I think I saw on Netflix? Or am I sorely mistaken?
It might be. It might be on Netflix. I don't think so. I doubt it. If it's on DSTV, probably not on Netflix. But if you've got DSTV, definitely watch it. It'll be on catch up on the PVR as well, I'm sure. But it's certainly available on catch up on DSTV now. Really great television, riveting stuff, and some of the. I mean, I really didn't know what happened at that nuclear accident and how close to a global catastrophe it actually became. The nuclear reactor was melting through the concrete base of the facility, and they had to send a team. And I'm not really giving away too many spoilers here, or any spoilers for that matter, but they had to send a construction team under the ground to reinforce the base of the nuclear reactor, because if that didn't happen, the nuclear fuel, the radioactive waste, would have poured into the environment and could have set off another chain reaction with the other reactors at Chernobyl, that could have rendered Russia and large parts of Europe uninhabitable for hundreds of years.
Damn, that's crazy. I mean, I also don't know the full story, so I need to go and see this now. When you listen to some of these things, you know, nuclear accidents, you have to wonder sometimes, are we living in a spin-off parallel universe as a result of a nuclear catastrophe? And I'm a little bit joking, but, you know, from what we know about science, you know, maybe we are all living in this parallel. Oops, something happened. Those guys didn't make it, but here we are.
Yeah.
We always get so close.
Yeah.
Meteorite just hit us, missed us.
Glenn in the comments says, you also need to listen to the companion podcast for Chernobyl. They explain a lot per episode and also talk about the accents used. A must listen. I'm definitely going to grab that one, Glenn. Thanks for that. That'll be fascinating.
Interesting.
But Chernobyl, fantastic. And there's so much good stuff on television these days, it's hard to keep up. But this one stands out above the others.
I recently subscribed, just on a side note, just to 7-day trial of Amazon's, just to check it out. There was a show I wanted to watch on there. And there's some good stuff on there that I've never heard of, which is with some good actors. Like
The Man in the High Castle is very good, if you haven't seen that.
Yes, you have recommended that before. My trial has lapsed now, so I'll wait for when I resubscribe.
It's quite cheap, though. I think it's $6 a month for the first year or something.
Yeah.
Something like that.
There's nothing much on there. If there is something I want to watch, yes, I will definitely subscribe for that.
I do enjoy the Grand Tour. I resubscribe to Amazon once a year to watch that, and then unsubscribe again.
What is your subscription service at the moment that you're viewing stuff?
DSTV, Showmax, and Netflix.
And do you pay for YouTube?
I do pay for YouTube, but I just pay to get rid of the ads.
Yeah. Well, technically, then it's considered a streaming service, right?
Yeah, and I watch a lot of YouTube.
Oh, so do I.
Use it a lot, too, yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff on there. A lot of obscure stuff there, too.
Yeah.
I recently came across a subsection of YouTube that's unsearchable videos, that's ranging from random to bizarre, but stuff that you can't search for. You just have to find the link.
Oh, really? Unlisted stuff.
Either unlisted or they've got binary codes for names and stuff.
Okay, you're right.
Interesting.
Yeah. Great. I think that's our show. Oh, winner and loser of the week. We haven't done that. Winner is Bitcoin, as he says, looking over to his straw deck to see what the price is.
What is it?
$9,113.21. It was $9,400 a bit earlier this morning, but it's still up massively on yesterday, and it's been running up the whole week. Incredible stuff. My guess is it's going to test $10,000 within the next day or two. As a hodler, I am very happy. I've got no idea why it's running up, but there's some speculation that it could be running up because Facebook is announcing Globalcoin on Tuesday, which is their cryptocurrency, and suggestions some of the hype that's going to come out of that could drive Bitcoin and other crypto assets. And of course, there's this event called the halving, or the halvening happening next year, which is also happening to Litecoin, I think, in August or September. I think it's August. We've seen the price of Litecoin also skyrocketing in the past few weeks. This is probably more to do with the Facebook global coin launch and maybe some other factors than the halving happening in Bitcoin, which I think is only due to happen towards the middle of next year. But it's quite exciting as an investor in Bitcoin to see it going on a tear like this.
Yeah, I mean, and let's, that Facebook their little plan for getting into the financial business is going to be a big disruptor if they get away with what I think they would want to get away with.
Yeah.
Obviously, sending money internationally is like the golden egg or the golden goose, because everybody wants to send money overseas, you know, especially in Africa, send it into different countries. So the company can get that right on that scale.
Yeah.
And if Facebook is that company, it's going to be interesting times ahead for banks, especially.
Yeah. The rumor is it'll be a stable coin, so it'll be tied to a currency, probably the US dollar. But yeah, very interesting. I'm not sure how they're making the announcement. I presume there's going to be some sort of keynote about it on Tuesday. So, of course, we'll cover it on Tech Central, so keep an eye on the website. As soon as there's news on what Facebook is doing, we'll have the story. And our loser this week is the country of Ethiopia, which in many respects has been doing very well in recent years. Ethiopian Airlines is one of the most successful airlines in the world. Provides a great model for how perhaps SAA should be run. But in other respects, especially in telecommunications, where they still have a fixed line monopoly provider and where broadband prices are still insanely high, the country decided this week to switch off the internet until sometime next week. Switch it off for the whole country to stop students from cheating in their exams.
Ridiculous.
Can you believe this? I mean, can you imagine if they switched off the internet, if the government decided we're going to switch off the internet in South Africa? There'd be civil war.
It's like taking a tank to kill an anthill, right?
Yeah.
It is ridiculous. Like, I mean, there's no words. What's going on?
It's unbelievable.
Crippling the entire economy.
Yeah. It's apparently not the first time they've done this either. And Ethiopia is the country that for many years, up until quite recently, banned voice over IP services. Although we shouldn't shout too loudly because South Africa effectively banned voice over IP services for a number of years.
But at least we didn't get the internet disconnected. I mean, what do you say to any investor who's, I mean, any company based needs internet access for most companies. So in those companies want to invest in the country, might think twice now.
Yeah. Yeah, can you imagine the government going to Terraco and saying, "Well, please switch off your data center because the internet needs to go down for a few days."
Students are writing exams. We can't.
It would be in the constitutional court before you can sneeze.
Yeah, maybe. They should relook. They relook their efforts. That's for sure. Yeah. Something isn't
really silly. Life. Really, really silly. Anyway, Ethiopia is our loser of the week. And Rechot, that is our show, apart from our quiz results. Do you want to do the first question?
Certainly. The first question: which figure said this week that his life was effectively at stake as he prepared to fight an extradition battle? And the answer is WikiLeaks' Julian Assange.
And which online retailer said this week that it will open bricks and mortar stores in Gauteng after a similar move in Cape Town? And that's Yuppie Chef.
Third question. In an interview with Tech Central this week, Vast Networks talked about its Wi-Fi offload pilot with mobile operator Vodacom. Who are the shareholders in Vast? And the answer is Dimension Data and MultiChoice.
And the last question, question four in this week's quiz, IBM this week said it had partnered with which South African university to bring quantum computing to Africa? And that is the University of the Witwatersrand. And you have a fifth question for us, Rehard, quickly, on the fly.
Oh, man, I've been thinking of one. I had such a good fun, but no, I don't. Sorry.
No, okay. Sorry. I'm afraid we'll have to end the podcast there. as Jeremy Clarkson says, on that disappointment. just a reminder, if you enjoy the show, please do consider watching us on YouTube. We go out live on Sundays, and it's always great to have your inputs in the comments section on YouTube. Just search Tech Central on YouTube, one word, and look for the TC logo with a light brown background after Rechard complained about the light blue one last week.
Complaining is a bit of a strong word. It was more like a question.
You queried it. So look for TC on a lightish green background, lightish brown background rather. And hit that subscribe button and get notified whenever we go live. And it's not just this show, of course. We do podcasts during the week as well, interviews with leaders in South Africa's technology industry and further abroad for that matter. So please do consider subscribing. And our subscriber numbers are ticking up very nicely. So to those who have subscribed, thank you very much. And Rechot, that's our show for this week. Until next time, from Rechot and myself, take care and ciao.
Ciao, ciao.